This is Scott Becker with the Scott Becker Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Zoe Routh. Zoe's a keynote speaker. She's also an author, a thinker. She speaks on lots of topics. We're going to talk to her today about people stuff, which is probably the most important issue in business and life anyways. Zoe, can you take a moment, tell us a bit about yourself, introduce yourself, tell us a bit about what you do.
Oh, thanks, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here. Well, I am a Canadian living down under in Australia. I'm a leadership expert, and I love people dynamics. It's been something I've been obsessed about since I was 17 when I first started working with people in Canada leading canoe trips. And I saw up close and personal what it takes to be part of an amazing team. And also what happens when things go pear-shaped and you end up in all this particular conflict. So what I do these days is I work with leaders and teams on their people dynamics so that they can deliver on their strategy. So it's all about interpersonal relationships, culture, so that you can get that right before you can then buckle down and get down to work.
And talk a little bit about the people issues. I mean, in every sort of team, every sort of organization, there's some internal conflict, some this amount of either politicking or this person doesn't like that person or some backbiting or something that sort of distracts from mission or does it? How do you sort of deal with these issues in real life? Because all of us struggle with them.
Oh, absolutely. It's a common theme. And it's one of the reasons I wrote my latest book, which I called People Stuff. And when I was talking to leaders and I asked them, you know, what's the hardest part about your job? And they said, it's definitely the people. And they often said the people stuff. And it's how people are getting along or fighting or not getting or not working collaboratively together. The thing that people, that leaders often make as a common mistake is that they assume that those people interactions that are problematic are down to personalities. And in my experience and research, I found that that's not always just the case. What looks like a personality problem is often something that is manifested because of poor systems in the workplace. So the structures of the organization are driving this difficult behavior. So that's one of the first observations I made. The second observation I made is that there's often these patterns to people's emotional outpourings, which presents as difficult behaviors. And when we know what those triggers are, we can actually dial those triggers down so we can prevent the poor behavior in the first place. So in terms of how to deal with it, I think it's important to dig below the surface and find out what is causing the difficult behavior. So if you take a common one, silos, right? You have people who are just focused on their own work and they're not that interested in getting their head above the parapet and seeing what's going on. Some causal factors to that are not because somebody is selfish and obstinate. It might be because they're overworked and they've got too much on their plate and they just don't have the capacity to contend with other people's issues and challenges, let alone their own. That could be one causal factor. Another causal factor with silos is the way that the organization is structured so that they have a lot of things that they have to deliver on their own plate. They might be remunerated for their own performance. And so they've got a vested interest in just sticking to their own knitting, let alone dealing with other people's stuff. So those are two examples of digging below the surface to address something like silos. If it's something like backbiting, then that's, nobody goes to work wanting to be a complete jerk. So you got to figure out what is driving this behavior. And it could be fear of overwork. It could be fear of not measuring up. It could be that there's not enough safety in the team, so people don't feel able to raise concerns outright. And so the leader has to do some work about setting some ground rules and expectations along that. So that's a couple of examples of how to get tactical with some of these causes for difficult people interactions.
How often does the following happen? Somebody says, well, on our team, we have an absolute no jerks rule. And he or she's the leader, and everybody thinks that person's a jerk. How often does that happen or come into play?
So you have somebody on the team who is a jerk, but they've got this. So they're not working in alignment to what they say. Is that what you're asking?
Yes, something like that. They sort of pronounce, we have a no jerks rule here. And everybody thinks that person's a jerk. And I say it somewhat facetiously, but it actually happens when people say, like, we're the most fair team in the country. And everybody thinks that the boss is the least fair person ever. I mean, those things happen, and they happen not in often. Do you have to go find another job at that point, find another leadership spot, rather than work for that company? Are there ways around that? When you have, is there any solution? Like, you can't do a good deal with a bad person. Is it possible to be on a good team with a bad leader?
It's that's a tough question. So can you have a good team with a bad leader? Yeah, you can. And that takes a lot of determination amongst the team members to survive their boss. Because if you want to affect change, what you're battling against is the power dynamic. And somebody who's got authority has got power over you. And so the reluctance to address the issue is definitely there, because there's often a lot at stake if you do raise an issue like, my boss is a jerk. Do you have to just suck it up and put up with it? There's ways of influencing a leader to help them come on board and be the non-jerk that you aspire them to be. And it can be subtle. So there's a couple of strategies you can do. How do you get them on board? How do you give that feedback without shooting yourself in the foot and being then in the target zone from your jerk leader? I think what you can do is you can ask them for advice. And this is a way of positioning your boss in a seen as an expert in the field. And when you ask people for advice, they soften towards you. They become more pleased with your attention, I guess. And so they develop this reciprocity for you. So it's not being manipulative. It's about, like, okay, this person obviously knows something. They didn't get promoted just for nothing. Let's ask them for a piece of advice. So you can gain the sense of trust and intimacy with them. And then you might say, offer suggestions about how to improve things in a way that is non-threatening. So it takes a lot of subtlety and nuance to do that. I think also thinking about your question, you know, if you have a jerk on the team and the leader's not dealing with it, which is another scenario, that can happen. They may not be dealing with it at the rate that you want or the intervention that you want. They may be maybe trying to facilitate that person's development or that person's exit from the organization. I've seen that happen a couple of times where CEOs could have just let the axe fall. And the rest of the team would have been very relieved a lot earlier. And yet the CEO took a little bit of a different approach and coached them, gave them a couple of chances, and facilitated their exit. And it took a little bit longer. There were reasons for that. So there was less collateral damage across the organization because they were taking their organizational knowledge with them. In the meantime, the rest of the near team had to put up with the difficulty. So it's, if you're the boss trying to decide, do I just let the axe drop or do I take my time to get this person out slowly, then there's costs and benefits to that. So the long answer the short answer to your question is, yes, we can deal with these things. We can deal with jerks. We don't just have to cut and run. We don't have to just, you know, put somebody on the chopping block either. But it does take time and it does take determination and persistence to contend with it. If things are really bad, though, I think it is a question of, like, all right, what is the consequence for me if I persist with this, if I put up with this behavior? How much is it costing me personally, emotionally? And maybe it is time to cut my losses and run.
Zoe, a couple more questions. If I'm part of a team and I find that there are certain people I always bristle at or I almost tighten up with or react negatively to, do I need to get emotional maturity training and grow up myself? Or are there ways for me to deal with that better than going to see a professional coach myself? I mean, some people just have that visceral negative reaction to, how do I mature myself to be more emotionally tempered so I don't have that, so I deal with them in a more fair way?
Thank you, Scott. That's a wonderful question. And you don't necessarily need training. I think that you need a couple of principles to help us with that. And I think the people who make us bristle the most often have the most to offer us in terms of learning about ourselves and people dynamics. Now, what is it that's causing you to bristle? Is it their Is it the way that they, is it their opinions? Is it their behavior? Is it, are they belligerent? You know, there's a whole bunch of things about their, the interaction with them that cause us to bristle. And I think if you do have one of those people that you, you work with, then taking a couple deep breaths is the first thing, because often we develop this instinctive reactions around these folks that just becomes habitual. So it's like, okay, take a deep breath and get curious. Curiosity is one of our major superpowers when it comes to contending with difficult people issues. And if we can just stay, lean away from our irritation and lean into curiosity and ask ourselves things like, right, what is valuable about this person? What is valuable about their perspective? How did they get to this opinion? What is it about their life story, their work experience that has led them to create this point of view? And it may be completely different to mine. Can I understand a little bit how it was built through their experiences? And when we get curious like that, we drop judgment, which is the source of our prickliness, if you like. And we may not necessarily agree with their point of view or their behavior necessarily. If we can come to understand it a little bit, we can then respond to them with compassion and with equanimity and with being even keeled ourselves. So what we don't want is just to be trigger happy ourselves and to be reactive to them and start snapping at them or being dismissive. Every human being has something to offer.
100%. So probably a couple of deep breaths all the time, and then step back and try and see the gifts that they offer, the positives, and try not to be such a reactive human being myself. Another question. There was an old adage, you know, you don't talk. Two more questions, Zoe, and I appreciate you so much sticking with me here. There was an old adage that you don't talk politics, sex, or religion in the workplace. And obviously, the tension out of political talk in this country over the last couple of years has been insane, and obviously probably pretty good rules not to talk politics, sex, or religion. Are those still good rules, or do you have no choice as a corporate citizen today to engage in some of these discussions? Certainly not about sex and religion, but about politics. How do you navigate that in today's world where if you're not taking a position on something, you're viewed as maybe a bad citizen yourself? How do you sort of manage this, navigate this political climate with teams and so forth?
I think that's a really important issue to raise, Scott, because it is such a polarized dynamic across the across the world, here in Australia as well as in the US and Canada. Where do you sit on the side of politics? It almost becomes a personality badge, or you know, you have to wear your flag on your sleeve, if you like. So I think with this, it's the same principle. You know, it's being curious about the other person's perspective and not being dismissive. And that's hard if other people are being dismissive and polarized with it. I would recommend people read this fantastic book that came out recently by Buster Benson called Why Are We Yelling? And he tackles those big political divides and like the most intractable conversations that we have around politics, et cetera. And the first thing he recommends, which I also recommend, is like to sit in the discomfort of it. So because we are living in such polarized times, often there'll be people around us who do have very different opinions, and we can jump to the, oh my God, I can't believe you can believe those things that you do. That's crazy. And we dismiss people. So we sit with the discomfort of why is it that our buttons are getting pressed with this? And then we move into the curiosity piece. It's like, tell me about how you came to believe this. So your question is like, should we not say anything, or should we speak up about our politics? I think we can share our beliefs as long as we don't expect to change anybody else's point of view. I think as soon as we want to go and prove somebody else wrong, then we're setting ourselves up for arguments and conflict. I think if we can state our beliefs and say, I'm curious about yours, let's explore that. And that takes some effort and training of your own discipline to stay in curiosity and stay out of judgment. But it's possible.
But what if my opinions are right and theirs are wrong? No, I'm just joking.
I love that. So I think we're never so wrong as when we think we're absolutely right.
Isn't that the truest thing ever? Isn't the truth almost always somewhere in between? Isn't that right? That we're never so wrong is when we're so sure that we're right. I think that is actually so true. One other question. So I am fortunate to have remarkable people that work with me. I mean, with us today, one of our producers who just like always shows up on time, always does everything right, always handles with grace, never sort of messes up. Messes up once in a while, everybody messes up once in a while, but she hardly ever does, ever. The same thing with a lot of our other production team, just magnificent people that always seem to handle themselves right. They're always telling me, Scott, you're a few minutes late, get on time, it's okay. You know, but they handle themselves so well, everything goes out on time. The same thing in other businesses I'm involved in, magnificent people around me. How do you show those people? How do you retain people today? How do you keep them comfortable today? How do you take care of them today? How does that work in today's workforce? I happen to be fortunate to be blessed with magnificent people around me in different teams, whether in the law firm, Becker's Healthcare, or here with the production team. How do you make sure people feel appreciated in the right way? How do you hit that right?
I think it's different for each human. So each human that we work with likes appreciation and recognition in their own particular way. I think it's up to us as leaders to figure out what is that for each person. And I think this simple question of asking, you know, how do you like to be appreciated and recognized? Do you like public accolades? Some people love that. I'm one of those gold star people. Yes, please. And others are much more private and don't like to be singled out in public, and they prefer more quieter recognition. As a general rule, a leader should be working towards spotting people doing something right. And that's something I learned ages ago in the 1 Minute Manager series, which is a fabulous management book series. And if we're always on the lookout for seeing when people are doing things right and calling it out by saying, you know, Jay, you did such a great job lining up the guests today. You made them feel really comfortable. Everything was organized. You're always timely. I really appreciate that. It makes my life so much easier. By giving short messages like that, that are relevant and timely, we give an empathetic boost to that person, so they feel seen, heard, and valued. My third book was called Loyalty and How to Stop Unwanted Staff Turnover. One of the key principles in there with loyalty, it's not about longevity. So loyalty used to be like, how long can I keep people with me? And every leader wants stability in their team, especially with good team members. The reality in the workplace these days is that people can be so transient because there's so many different opportunities, and we shouldn't necessarily be fighting that. What we should be focusing on instead is providing such a fantastic experience for people for the time that they are with us, that however long they are with us and however long after they leave us, that they're advocates. So I believe that advocacy is the new loyalty, and our responsibilities as leaders is to make sure that they have a great experience. And that means getting to know our people. That means recognizing their contributions and celebrating the wins together. So culture is always a mainstay of positive team experience, and it's one of the primary things that leaders need to facilitate and manage ongoing. So that's some of the key aspects of that. So it's always about knowing your people, singling them out, showing appreciation, and giving them a good experience.
Zoe, what a magnificent pleasure to visit with you. You know, someone had introduced us that you would be a magnificent guest, and you truly were a great pleasure to speak to, and so clear and such a pleasure and so many issues. Most importantly, of course, the people stuff, because everything's really about people. You can't do anything without great people. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Zoe Routh, how do people learn more about Zoe Routh?
You want me to talk about more about myself?
Well, where do they find you? Where do they find you if they want you to speak to them, if they want you to lead their team, if they want to help you, if they want help, if they want to consult with you? How do people find Zoe Routh and learn more about you?
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the invitation. You can find me on my website at zoerouth.com, zoerouth.com. I hang out a lot on LinkedIn, so you can find me there. And I also have my own leadership podcast called, wait for it, the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast.
What a pleasure to visit with you. Zoe, thank you so much for joining us. Jay, thank you for all your help today. Zoe, we'll let you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Scott. It's been a pleasure.